Wait. You want to intro the video? You want to intro it?
Can I intro it? Okay. Hi. So my name is Orion Young. I'm the daughter of Nichelle and Levi Young, and I just graduated. Yeah. And so. So when I got asked to do communion, I wanted to share about something that I've learned this summer, which is how to really trust in God and put my faith in Him. Like any other kid, Disney was a big part of my childhood. And I feel like this clip that's from Peter Pan ties in with what I've been learning. So. So I'm going to talk about faith and trust, and my dad's going to talk about pixie dust, but I feel like faith, trust, and pixie dust is all you need in life to truly fly through life in a way. So I feel like faith and trust are two things that go in hand. In order to have faith, you have to have trust. And so, I don't know about you guys, but putting my trust in, like, one person isn't something I'm really used to doing. We've all had people in our lives that have, like, played with our emotions, disregarded our feelings by friends, strangers, and even loved ones. But God is one person that will never do that. Please turn with me to Proverbs 3. 5-6. And this is an NIV. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." So trusting God is something that I've struggled with a lot, especially before I was a disciple. I used to think I couldn't trust anyone, because I've been hurt by people before and, like, in the past. But I just have to remember that God is not a part of this world. He's not like us. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to intentionally hurt our feelings. He's not going to accidentally hurt our feelings. And He's not going to disregard our feelings. He wants us to succeed and be happy. And He's the only person that we can put our complete trust and faith in. So I just graduated, and during my senior year, like most of my senior year, I was very nervous and anxious about graduating and figuring out where I'm going to go to college and what I want to do. And I was just really scared. And I tried to find my security in other things and grasping on to friendships that I wanted to last and thinking that those things would help me feel better, but it didn't. I knew that deep down that I just had to trust God, because I've learned in the past that worrying about things doesn't help at all. But I was struggling with that because I'm about to jump into the unknown. All my life I've had a certain schedule and, like, certain way that I've lived, but now all that is about to change, and I just didn't feel ready for that. So I went to camp week 3 this summer. And during the cross study, Mr. Jeff asked a question that really spoke to me specifically. And that question was, does what I think, feel, and do display my trust in God? And I was like, huh, right now, no. that question really stuck with me throughout the rest of the summer, and I'm determined to be able to say yes to that question. And so one quote from the clip that was shown earlier that really stuck out to me is Peter Pan says, "Think of the happiest things. It's the same as having wings." And that reminded me of our theme scripture this summer in the team ministry. So please turn to Philippians 4, 8 through 9, or you can read up there. And it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things." And so this scripture has really helped me have a positive mindset. I've been starting my quiet times off with a prayer of what I'm grateful for that day or week, and also listing specific things that I'm grateful for in my journal. And starting my day like that has just really been really encouraging, and it's given me peace, even though my week may not have felt peaceful the whole time. And showing gratitude to God also reminds me to trust in Him, or to see, like, God got me out of this situation so He can get me out of this situation or the next situation that I'm in. And God's going to be working in our lives no matter how great our faith is or if we're trusting in Him or not. It's just a little easier if we do trust in Him. So one person in the Bible who has great faith and trusted God no matter what the circumstances is Jesus. When traveling with His disciples, they didn't know when they were going to eat, where they were going to sleep, and those are essential things. But Jesus didn't worry about that because He knew and had faith that God would provide for them, and He always did. And He was even willing to trust God, God's plan, when He gave His life for us on the cross. So I'm going to be reading John 14:27, and it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So I'm starting college next week, not this coming week, but next week. And so I've started to become more excited about this change, but I'm still a little scared because I don't know the future, and things probably won't go my way. But I have faith that God has a plan for me and that He's going to use me in ways that I can't even imagine. And I trust that He knows what's best for me and knows what I can handle. And then Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." So I encourage you guys to think about the question, does what I feel, think, and do display my trust in God? No matter what situation you're in, no matter who's in and out of your life, no matter where your faith is, God will always be with you. We just have to trust in Him and have faith in His plan. This summer has been a lot of learning for me, and learning isn't always fun. But I've learned things that I think that will really help me grow as a person and in my relationship with God. And I've also learned that all you need is faith, trust, and a little pixie dust.
My daughter said, "Hey, I got a great title for communion, faith, trust, and pixie dust." Like, well, what part do I have to do? It's like, but just having daughters, a lot of times daughters, you end up doing things that you never think you'd do. I remember when Orion was small and, you know, she would put ribbons in my hair and dress me up and different things. And I remember watching every single Barbie movie known to man, every fairy movie, everything. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the pixie dust challenge today. And as Steve Sapp used to say, I'm going to find a way to land the plane. I think we definitely have to have faith and trust. But I think God did give us some pixie dust. One thing that God does give us is the power after His death, really with the Holy Spirit. If you could turn in your Bibles, We're going to go to John 14 in just a minute, but I wanted to just define communion because we're going to take communion in a little bit, and it's like, well, why is it called communion? What do we do in communion? One of the things in communion, I looked it up, it says the sharing or exchange of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when exchange is on the mental or spiritual level. And so we're going to take communion today, and I think sometimes we don't really understand, hey, we're doing something on a spiritual level when we commemorate the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus today. And there's going to be something spiritual happening on a level that's not just mental. It's a different level. The Holy Spirit is really what allows us to commune with God on a level that we could never commune before. If you look over in John chapter 16, if you got a Bible you can pull up on your phone, you got a physical Bible you want to read on the word, I put two different translations. I'm going to read it both because one kind of amplifies it a little bit. This is John 16:7. And this is really the same night Jesus is going to die. He's done the Last Supper. He's trying to communicate some things to his guys. He knows he's going to die on the cross. And he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And the Amplified Bible says, "But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you if I go. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you." And one of the big things I think that we can sometimes miss is, you know, if you had the question today, hey, would it be better for Jesus to be here with you, you know, or have the Holy Spirit? You know, if you're going to ask that question, you know, is it better for the Holy Spirit to be with you or for Jesus to be with you? Jesus said, you know what? It's to your advantage. And if you'd ask me, I want Jesus. Like, he can sit right next to me in fellowship. I can hang out with him all day. Jesus all day long, 24/7. But Jesus said, you know what? It's good that I'm going to leave, because you're going to get a gift. You're going to get a gift that is even better than me being with you. And you're like, well, what can be better than Jesus actually walking with you, you being with him all the time, seeing the miracles? But if Jesus says something, it must be important. And the last night, it's like, I haven't told you this the whole time, but this last night, I'm going to tell you something that's going to change your life forever. And he says, I'm leaving behind something that's going to change you. The Holy Spirit in the Greek is translated different things, but the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener. What did he leave behind? He left behind him. He left behind his spirit to live inside of those guys. And he was always trying to communicate stuff with them. He's like, you just don't get this. You'll get this later on. You're not going to understand this now. They're like, where are you going? Don't leave us. He's like, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'll never leave you. How can you never leave us? He's like, I'm going to live inside of you. And I think sometimes we don't really understand that he left his spirit to live inside us, to empower us when we needed the power, to comfort us when we're grieving, to guide us into all truth, to remind us of what Jesus said. He's like, hey, you're going to get something that is, you're going to do greater things than I can. How can we do greater things than Jesus? It seems counter. I'm like, that there's no way we can if he is in us. One of the songs Nick sang, it said, you know, your holiness is Christ in me. And I think sometimes we don't understand who is in us if we've got the gift of the Holy Spirit. My brother told me one time, I think, hey, we talk about we get baptized, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's like, I think sometimes we never unwrap the gift. Never unwrap the gift. And you got comfort. You got strength. You need some counseling. You got a wonderful counselor. You need somebody to advocate for. You've got an advocate, and not just anyone. You have the Spirit of Jesus living in you. And I think sometimes we don't understand the gift. I don't think the disciples understood. It's like, hey, it's the last night. What are you? You're leaving us. It's going to be horrible. No, it's going to be better. Your advantage, if I'm gone, because in you is going to be something that's going to let you commune with God in a way you've never communed with me before. Sometimes you couldn't even find me. I was walking on water. I was on a mountaintop. You were looking for me. You couldn't find me. You never have to look for me again. I'm going to be in you forever. And I can only be here in one place at one time. Now I can be all over the world in everybody at all times, communing with all of my disciples. And I think we don't understand, just like disciples, the gift that God gave us and the level that we can commune with God. John 14, 26, 27. It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Peace I leave you with, my peace I give you, but I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And you know, sometimes you read stuff, I don't really get things. It's like, how do you leave somebody with peace? It's like, it wasn't really peaceful after he left. It was like they all ran away, and they were scared, and they were hiding, thought they were going to get killed. It's like, where's the peace that you left? Well, he said, go to Jerusalem, wait. You're going to get something that's going to help you, that's going to give you what you need. And he leaves a peace. But really, he said, hey, I'll teach you, I'll remind you of everything I taught you. Everything, the Spirit's going to remind you of all those things. You look at the disciples of Jesus, they were a mess when Jesus was with them. They were fighting over who's the greatest. They were trying to call down fire on people. Peter was always messing up. They were a mess. They couldn't get the parables. Hey, can you explain that again? After Jesus left, the Holy Spirit on them, these guys, hey, aren't these unschooled, ordinary men? They're preaching the word. They're recalling all these things the prophet said. It wasn't them. It was Jesus in them doing those things, empowering them, leading them, reminding them of all the things that Jesus said. I can't remember all the things that I say. Okay. My kids are like, you remember when your dad, you said this? I'm like, did I promise that? I'm like, they'll remind me. I can't remember that. How am I going to remember everything Jesus said? Hey, it's the Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you, to do those things. So I think one of the things is we commune today and we think about what we have in Christ. Unwrap the gift that God has given you. There's some people today that are grieving. You know you have a comforter in you. There's some people today that need advice, need guidance, need to be reminded of what Christ has done for them. There are things that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you, has been trying to tell you all week. But sometimes we're not aware of his presence. I always tell people, it was like, hey, I got a phone. And it can do a lot of stuff, but I probably use 10% of what it can do. Because I really don't understand all the things it can do. My kids can use probably about 40%. Yeah. But I can use about 10%. And they'll have a new updated phone before I even figure out, you know, a quarter of the things that this can do. I think sometimes we don't use the gift that God gave us, and we're using 10% when God's like, I've got strength to overcome addictions. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, peace. How can I have peace? I can have Jesus's peace because it's in me already. I can have power, love, and self-discipline because I already have those things, but I'm not using it. I'm not tapping into those things. I remember, I think Reese Nealon a couple years back came and he talked about, hey, you know, do we ever pray to the Holy Spirit? He's part of the Trinity. He's there. He's a he. It's not it. It's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. Okay? It is he, and he that is in us is greater than he who is in the world. But sometimes we don't know him as well as we need to, and we're not tapping into what God gave us. So today, as we commune with God, and we take the blood, the grape juice that reminds us of the blood, and the body, the bread, reminds us of the sacrifice Jesus made, understand that we have the pixie dust to fly. We have supernatural power to communicate with God that's in us that we might not tap into, but take some time today. Pray to him. Ask him for what you need, because he was left behind. It's to your advantage that Jesus died so we could have something greater and he could be in us always. I'm going to pray. One of the things I love, and I dressed up today because my dad is back in Minnesota, and my dad always dresses up when he comes to church. So he appreciated the hospitality when he was here and spending time with you guys. So I appreciate the hospitality for everyone. But I usually, you know, am playing or helping with the music, and I love songs because a lot of the Psalms are, you know, they're just prayers. You know, David's praying, and even the songs that we sang today, modern songs, are prayers, and sometimes we forget those things. So I'm going to start my prayer with a song, and then we're going to take communion. I'm not going to sing, though. Not my anointing. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We want more of it. Lord, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. I thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit, that you knew dying on the cross and suffering was worth it because you could be with us always, that you could give us the strength when we didn't have the strength. You can comfort us in our time of mourning. You wouldn't have to be distant, that you could be with us close. I pray as we meditate and we think about you, God, we would commune with the Holy Spirit on a supernatural level. And, you know, we don't believe necessarily in pixie dust, but we believe in your power in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for this time to pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.